Maybe you'd like to fish without the smell of paper mills.
You really think there aren't smells and
I know. Lake
have you heard
Erie
of
takes
the
in what?
river being on fire in Cleveland?
Yeah,
Like,
I
it's
know,
not
I know.
exactly a clean lake.
Oh, don't bust out the Cleveland tourism song again.
Tech Hockey Guide presents the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA with your host, Tim Brown, Rob Gilreath, Dustin Lindstrom, and Matt Cavender.
Welcome to episode 43 of season 5 of the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide and recorded from the state of hockey. I'm Tim Brown, your host, and I'm joined this week by Dustin Lindstrom.
Hey, everyone.
Rob Gilreath.
Hey, guys.
And Matt Cavender.
You already know who it is and still sounding terrible.
With the Mason Cup playoffs upon us and Michigan Tech hosting Bowling Green, we have Michael Burwell from the Toledo Blade to help us. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
Yep, thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's see. This week we'll talk about Bowling Green season, Michigan Tech series with St. Thomas, the CCHA standings. We'll look back at how terrible my ballot was for the CCHA preseason media poll. And preview the playoffs overall, and specifically the Tech Bowling Green series in Houghton. And we've got a couple Patreon questions for Michael. So anything else we should talk about, guys? I'm sure Dustin will say we should talk about the high school tournament and Minnetonka's lovely loss with, what, nine Division I recruits on it?
I know the word to use.
Sounds good.
Biddy teaches or something, or went to or something.
That's
the only
where
reason
up.
I know about it.
Yep. First time they've ever made the tournament. Pretty cool.
Yep.
My favorite part about that was, like, somebody posted the celebration. And,
yeah.
You know, Chan Hassen was celebrating, going crazy. And the first comment was, maybe why don't they act like they've been there before? And then that's the first comment after that. They literally have never been there before.
Not even their parents or their parents' parents. They've never been there.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Well, which celebration was it that they broke two panes of glass? That was a different section.
That was in the second period, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't that one.
Oh, it was just a goal? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back with Michael Burwell after a little thank you notes and a brief note from our...
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We fund everything at Tech Hockey Guide from listeners like you. You can show your support by becoming a patron at patreon.com/techhockeyguide. Whether you're interested in question priority, access to patron-only Zoom chats with coaches and players, in-stat deep dives, extended versions of the podcast, unedited video or audio, early access, or commercial-free listening, there's a level for you. We also now have 15% discounts off annual memberships with tiers ranging from $2 to $50 per month. Again, sign up at patreon.com/techhockeyguide.
Do you work in manufacturing, product design, or product development? Is your business trying to improve efficiency while also producing at scale? Livonia Technical Services can help. They provide world-class quality improvement training and consulting for failure modes and effect analysis, product development, and cost reduction. All things that could help Northern Michigan assemble a competent defense. If you think your business could use a prevention mindset and reduce manufacturing costs, a partnership with Livonia Technical Services might be right for you. Check them out at livoniatech.net. That's LIVONIA tech.net.
All right. Welcome back. Michael, I had a chance to chat with you earlier this season, and at least on Twitter. I don't actually quite remember why I reached out to you, but I know we talked and you said you were a little busy with football at the time and you'd be more into covering Bowling Green kind of after football season ended. So here we are in the CCHA playoffs. How's Bowling Green season been, at least since you've been covering them?
Yeah, you know, it's just been up and down. There's been so much happening. You know, obviously they had a lot of controversy to start the season off the ice. you know, it kind of took a while for the group to really get going. And, you know, they not really good starts to the season. I think they were 2-8 at one point, 3-9. Then all of a sudden they won, you know, late in the season. They went 6-1-1 in about an 8-game stretch. And then they've lost their last 4 games. So it's really just been an up and down season. You know, they've shown signs that they can be a really good team. And then, you know, like the last couple weekends, they've really just kind of fallen flat a little bit. So it's really just been an up and down season for them.
Yeah, it certainly has. I know they had a really good stretch and then they kind of fell back down the last 2 weekends. You know, Michigan Tech, you know, it is a little funny that we didn't play you guys all season and then we played you a couple weeks ago and now we get to host you after going down there not too long ago. So, I mean, that's kind of a cool quirk of how this worked out that Michigan Tech gets to play one of the teams that they did not play 4 times and also play in the other building. So that's kind of cool. I know we've talked amongst ourselves on our Slack chat a little bit that Schlinkler's been dealing with a lower body injury, and one of our student detectives reported that he was off his crutches today. And I know we've heard some stories that he was hoping to try and be back for the playoffs. So there might be the possibility that he gets to play against his former team this weekend, but we still don't really know that. And I thought Joe talked about injuries at one point. I forget where, if that was Saturday post game or what, but I thought he had made it sound like there was only one or two guys that were potentially might be able to come back this weekend. And I don't believe he mentioned Schlinkler. I thought it was Koski Purdy, but I honestly forget.
I believe it's Koski Purdy. Yeah. Who was mentioned maybe being able to come back, but the rest of them sound like they were hurt enough that it wouldn't be an option from what I can remember.
Yeah.
Little beat up still, but I don't know. The team's clicking well-ish, it seems, with quite a few people out. So,
if Schlinkler's going to be back, I really look forward to some fireworks because there's going to be some.
I do have a feeling
something's going to happen.
Yeah, that's always kind of been my stance on picking up Schlinkler. Is that when we first got him, neither have really come true. But my 2 predictions were that it was either going to galvanize the room and they were really going to have like a very strong push to the end, or it was going to blow everything up and it was just going to be entertaining to watch either way. But I guess it would be fun to have him back for this series in particular, just for that possibility of like what kind of shenanigans happened, because we kind of saw, especially the Friday night blowout in Bowling Green, kind of go off the rails. And I don't know, that could probably get a lot worse with Schwankler on the ice.
Probably. So
it'll be very interesting to see.
I mean, there's still plenty of time for it all to blow up, Matt. So don't lose hope yet.
I think it's okay to not have any hope for that, Dustin. So Michael, what has kind of been the, you know, they had the big 6-game win streak, including a shootout win tie and win against St. Thomas, and then 4 wins against kind of the bottom of the conference. But really, the middle is very similar top to bottom. I think what's 5 points separates second from 7th. I think that's right. What is kind of to blame for the fall off the last 2 weekends? I heard there's some injuries, but.
Yeah, they've definitely had some injuries. You know, they've had injuries all year. Their leading scorer, Ryan O'Hara, has been out the last 8 games. That's kind of been a tough blow. But, I mean, just the offense has kind of really struggled these last couple of weeks. I think they only have 2 goals in their last 4 games. Obviously, the blowout loss to Michigan Tech on that Friday, you know, 7-0 was one of their worst losses in the last several seasons. But I think it just kind of goes to the offense. You know, they're ranked near the bottom in the NCAA and goals per game. I think it's only about 2.3 to 2.4. So I would say that's probably the biggest, you know, the toughest aspect of the team is just trying to score goals.
That makes some sense. I know Michigan Tech kind of similar in that, you know, it's kind of a, I mean, that 7-0 win, I think, was the first time they'd scored, was it four goals, five goals all year. It was one of those.
I think so. Yeah.
They had a 6-0 win at Augustana, so they did have the 1-6 goal game. But other than that, I mean, I guess if you're considering this year to be 2023 or 2024, right? But yeah, that's the offense has struggled for Tech all year. It always feels like, right?
Yeah.
So especially the first month of the year, it was rough. So it's good to see things finally clicking. It's good that these things just needs to be evened out a little bit over a couple of weekend games, right?
Right.
Friday night could have been a win easily too. I mean, if we want to talk about the series right away.
Yep.
It could have been a win very easily that first game, right? So it was 2-0, but one of them's an empty net goal, of course, at the end of the game. So could have easily swept St. Thomas and have been in second and be talking to somebody from where Lake State instead, right? But you know, here we are facing Bowling Green again because of a lack of offense. So hopefully yeah, Saturday
and it wasn't
team shows
for
up.
A lack of chances. I think Jay Z posted our shot chart and like yeah. I think our expected goals was actually higher on Friday than Saturday, and Trotter is supposed to be the lesser of the two goalies, and yet we couldn't find a breakthrough against him.
Oh, he played really, really well. There was a lot of frustration. I think you could see him saving stuff. A lot of our shots weren't the good quality movement that we had on Saturday night, but it still was the goalie kept them in the game and made that what happened.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, it was one of those ones where the goalie comes in and stands on his head, and then they get a goal that, you know, you kind of want back type of goal. And that's it. But, you know, overall, a good series. I think we're finishing the season out on a high from the way we're starting to play. And with all the injuries, I don't know, it seems like some of the guys that are down near the bottom of the depth chart, they're getting their chance to play and shine, and they're all taking their opportunity and running with it. And it's been really good to see.
Yeah, it's a really interesting weekend from, you know, how frustrating Friday was to every senior getting a point this weekend, plus Blake getting to end his regular season of his extra gear on a shutout. You know, that was, and it was really nice that it was a game that never felt out of control, right? Like you weren't, not like some of the other games where you're biting your fingernails all game. It was kind of just like, oh, we got another one. Because, you know, you scored two goals in the first 5 minutes and you just kind of got, I mean, second and third periods are almost mirror images where you got a goal in the 8th minute and a goal in the 13th minute. You know, just keep rolling. And to have Levi Stauber, you know, get a goal on a senior night as a graduating after his actual junior season, you know, that's pretty cool. Chase Piedle, I guess, his second goal. Like it was a fun game, and the whole time you're just going, why couldn't we have broken through with one of these yesterday, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And then you're just thinking about how much Michigan Tech struggled with overtime and shootouts this year, that, you know, one more result in one of those and you're sink it outright, you know.
Yep. Yeah, it does make me nervous, though. I mean, Bowling Green's on the 4-game losing streak. I don't think that they're going to go out with a 6-game losing streak. So, you know, I will regret the fact that I have to come back down on Sunday and I can't stay up for the game, because there will be a game on Sunday in my mind this weekend.
You know, we've talked about that before, Rob, where it feels like the conference is really tight and the playoffs are going to be a bunch of 3-game series. And I think last year was the first
like
time
that everyone,
there was
they went chalk, right?
Yeah. That there was a 3-game series at all, I think, in the history of the CCHA or something like that. Right, Dustin? It was weird how rarely, for how tight the league has been, it's how rare the series have actually gone to 3 games. Like they've been close games, but the third game just hasn't happened. There's been a lot of sweeps, and for how few sweeps there have been, like in the conference as a whole this year, I think it'd be kind of funny if it still ended up with 4 sweeps. And I actually have to predict all the series, whether or not I think they'll be 2-0, 2-1, and kind of why, for a piece that Trent Singer's putting out. So you guys can look for that later this week when I try and figure out what's going to happen. But I kind of leaning pretty chalk, honestly. Not that they'll all be 2-gamers, but that the home teams are pretty likely, I think, to win all of them. So what are your impressions of the conference this year, Michael?
Pretty wild that it's just so tightly compacted, and the fact that there's so much movement. I think BG was at one point, you know, like seventh, and then all of a sudden they were tied for second, and now all of a sudden they're back down to sixth. It's just wild with how tight it is. I mean, I feel like it's anybody's, you know, obviously, you know, a couple of those top teams, you got to expect them to be favorites, but, you know, I feel like anything can pretty much happen here, especially, you know, with some of those middle matchups, you know, the 4-5, 3-6, and from there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. I think, yeah, it is crazy how tight it was. And I feel like preseason we talked about this, didn't we? About how tight we thought the season could be. Like it was, I think I might have been wrong on thinking Lake State was obviously the worst team, and then kind of thinking that the other seven could kind of finish pretty tightly. And other than being wrong on which team was eighth, and then the fact that Bemidji pulled away at the end, like it's pretty much true. I mean, 5 points between second and seventh, and then the outlier of Bemidji at top and Ferris State at eighth. And my favorite part of all of that is I picked Bemidji State to finish sixth in my preseason poll. Now, to be fair, it was before we knew about the Swinkler news that I filled out my ballot, but that doesn't, like, it doesn't change, you know. I still would have had Bowling Green or Bemidji State like fifth, I think, if I had made that change. You know, I wouldn't have had, I wouldn't have moved them suddenly up to like first place or anything. So, definitely an interesting season, and it still didn't even feel like Bemidji State was pulling away until they did. Yeah, because they won four straight series with, they went 7-0-1 in their last eight games with one shootout win. So this 5 points against Northern, six against Ferris, six against St. Thomas, and well, I guess that's not right because an OT win is two, right? So five against Northern, five against Ferris, five against St. Thomas, and six against Minnesota State to finish out the season. So that's kind of, you know, going into February, we all were pretty even at the top there, and then they just separated themselves here the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's been go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
I was just going to say, it's just been an insane season. Like, we can definitely talk about the lack of conference success, especially out of conference. And then in the national picture, it's not very pretty. But in our own little bubble, things are very exciting because, like we kind of touched on, Bowling Green seemed dead to rights at the beginning of February. And they come storming back with a power month. And suddenly there was. You know, last weekend we were talking about them being in contention for McNaughton prior to, you know, getting swept by us. But it is just, it's crazy how tight it's been. And it's been, you know, if you look at our conference in a bubble, it's been a very fun season.
Yeah, it makes me wish that there was a little bit more success outside of conference, because I feel like, you know, you flip some stuff on the auto conference schedule and maybe you have a year where you've got a couple of teams possible to make it if we do well out of conference with how tight the conference itself has been. You know, kind of like the NCHC, they always have a whole bunch of teams in and they beat the crap out of each other, right? But they do well out of conference and it reflects well, and even the teams toward the bottom get pulled up from it. We clearly didn't do that this year as a conference, which is frustrating.
And some of that can be pointed at the, you know, Minnesota State having a new coach and Bowling Green having the turmoil they had at the beginning and the suspensions, and those are important games at the end of the season. And then, you know, Michigan Tech laid some eggs, like their trip to New York. But you really needed every team in the conference to have a couple more wins, not just, you know, one team. I know I went through and made Michigan Tech much better non-conference, and it didn't get them close to an at-large just because of how weak the conference as a whole has been.
Yep. Yeah, that's one thing that's been the biggest frustration of the league, I think, is the out-of-conference performance, and it needs to get better without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Michael, to kind of bring you back into the conversation, given the last 2 weeks and knowing how strong Bowling Green had played prior to that, how are you feeling about this matchup, and what are some things you're expecting to see?
Yeah, you know, the last two weekends really kind of threw me off guard for how much momentum they had, and you know, the fact that they're in position to, you know, to finish atop the league, and then to basically just lose in the way they did the last couple of weeks has really just been surprising. I mean, the 7-0 loss, obviously that was tough, but you know, it's just going to be interesting to see what, you know, how much energy there is, you know, heading into this weekend. You know, it's been a long season. There's been so much that has happened with this program. You know, do they have the energy, the motivation to, you know, to try to make a push in these playoffs? It's just going to be interesting to see. I mean, this team, you know, from talking with them, it sounds like, you know, they're a pretty tightly knit group. I mean, they enjoy playing with each other. You know, they're still a pretty young team, a lot of freshmen and sophomores, but they've really, you know, they've gotten along. They really, you know, enjoyed playing with each other, but for how back and forth and up and down of a season it has been, it's really hard to tell. You know, I think they're going to come out with some energy. You know, they're going to be excited, you know, kind of maybe just the start of a new season, but you know, it's going to be interesting because obviously with these last couple weekends, they don't have a whole lot of momentum heading into it.
Yeah, that's true. And that's kind of like, that's also a reason that I feel like I think it's important to not look past a team like Bowling Green, because even though they have had a rough couple weeks, they were looking real good prior to that. And now it's coming in, it's a new season and everyone's starting, you know, 0-0 and 0 and whatever, however many O's you put on there now. But it's, you know, it's going to be, I think it's going to be emotional, as we saw in the first meeting. I think it's going to be probably heightened because of the higher stakes. And I think if one team or the other decides to not take their opponent seriously, we could be in for another 7-0 thumping one way or the other.
Right, right. And, you know, as it's wild too, BGSU has actually had, you know, their record isn't great, but, you know, they've had a little bit of success on the road, you know, during that, you know, good stretch they had. I think that they swept a couple series on the road, or else, you know, 5 points and then 6 points on the road. Their record away from home is actually almost as good as, just about the same as their record at home, which, you know, playing at Slater Family Ice Arena is a really tough place to play for. So you never know. I mean, you go on the road, you know, and find some motivation, and yeah, you know, obviously anything can happen, but it'll just be interesting to see just how much energy and motivation they have coming out of the gates.
I can't imagine they end their season on a 6-game losing streak, right? So I think Friday night is the night where Tech's got to actually be ready and be prepared to go and not take anything for granted.
I think that's the point right there, Rob, is you have to be concerned with how we played them 2 weeks ago. There just might be that little level of, like, they don't come out prepared, don't come out like with that same energy they had in the 7-0 win, that they take their foot off the gas just enough that Bowling Green gets started and we give them life and cause ourselves problems, when if we just played with the same energy that we've had the last couple weeks, that we should be able to win and make this hopefully a relatively uninteresting series. But I'm sure at least one of the games will be very interesting for us as fans and cause many heartbreak or heart attacks and stressful moments on our Discord like any other series has, right?
Oh, I'm sure it'll whiplash itself back and forth like there's nobody's business.
Yeah.
Whoever scores first, it's either we're going on a run to the national title or we've lost and the season is over.
Yeah.
This guy is a seasoned Tech Hockey Guide Game Day Fred veteran.
You know what I do with my phone on game day? Click it off and set it down.
You know, sometimes I like to have it on. I hear that. Sometimes I put it down because I don't like goals spoiled, but sometimes I just kind of like to see what other people are thinking at that time.
No, I enjoy the conversation at the period breaks and at the media break, but other than that, it's too much. I'm going to put it down and not watch it.
I hear that, and I also just think it's kind of fun because it was like, all right, we're up 5-0. What are we going to complain about? Right. You know, like I don't know what more we could be asking of the team right now, but let's see what, because somebody's going to find something to complain about.
What was it that Trevor Kukkonen had more penalty minutes than minutes played?
I think that was something that was mentioned for sure this weekend, unfortunately. Yes.
Yeah.
He's had a rough go when he's been on the ice, unfortunately, this year.
So before we forget, let's get our patron questions here. So two of the guys on our Discord chat had questions for you, Michael. Talons Up Puck Down, our resident Bowling Green fan, wants to know that with UMass joining the MAC next year, what is the likelihood of the creation of a MAC hockey conference?
Boy, that's a that's a good question. And you know, I don't know. I mean, I know there's just not many, obviously, MAC schools that have hockey. I know there's a couple schools that have club teams, you know, maybe, you know, down the road, like years from now. But boy, that's a good question. I can't imagine it, anything in the near future happening in that regard.
Well, there isn't like the Big Ten poison pill with the conference, is there, where if they get six teams, they have to join their own league kind of thing?
Sponsor it, yeah.
Yeah, I know that's a Big Ten policy, right?
I still don't believe that exists, Rob.
Well, that's always been the, you know, discussed rumor about it, right, is that once they hit six teams, they had to do it, you know?
Yeah, because maybe that's why Michigan and Michigan State haven't added women's hockey, so we don't have to prove that there isn't a poison pill, right? What you want, Dustin?
I don't think there's any chance that, regardless of what happens, UMass leaves Hockey East to do anything.
Yeah, I'd be surprised by it too, to be honest.
Yeah,
I would be surprised too. But I mean, that's the reason this is unlikely to happen. You have, what is it here? Bowling Green, Miami, Western Michigan, and UMass are the four hockey schools.
Yeah.
In the conference, and then
so they're going to trade like eight bus trips for six flights. Like, no way.
And then Robert Morris is a affiliate member for, I forget which sport here. Let me find it. It's a
just waiting for affiliates. Waiting for UMass now lacrosse. To host as a Midwestern, you know, a Mid America team to host a conference, a regional that's a Midwestern regional.
Well. As Adam Wooden would tell you over and over again, Rob, they don't call them by those names anymore. And they haven't for a while.
Everyone does anyways.
I know. It's still BS. Okay. And then the other question was, since it actually the rumor came up on our podcast, Woogie wants to know if you've heard any rumors of Bowling Green being frustrated with the CCHA and exploring joining Atlantic Hockey.
I have not heard anything. Not quite sure. I don't know. From what I, you know, talked with and talked about, I haven't heard much as far as them being frustrated with the CCHA, but and it's all, not quite sure.
I mean, I would be surprised if several teams aren't frustrated to some point with the CCHA. And you know, just look at the way that it has played out this year and the non-conference record and no at-larges. And
yeah, but who are you frustrated with a conference record this year?
That's the thing. Like, there's no like everybody.
It's that Spider-Man photo of everybody pointing at everybody else.
Right. Everybody is to blame.
Why didn't you win one?
And the solution isn't joining Atlantic Hockey because they're in the same situation.
Yeah. No, and then the same token, I think I saw Biddy complain or talking about how like the CCHA must really miss Mike Hastings and what he did to Mankato. And to me, I'm like, well, that didn't like Mankato being eighth in the pairwise while everybody else is in the 30s and 40s and 50s doesn't really help anybody else because the whole conference has always been, or the last 5 years has been looked at as Minnesota State and then everybody else. Right. And it's like, it's not. All it did was lower the profile of Minnesota State. It didn't hurt the profile of anybody else, as far as I can tell, because it's not like you're getting recruits because you play Minnesota State, right? Like that's, you need to have a couple teams in the conference to push the bar where the recruiting gets better because of like who you're adjacent to. So without a couple teams here rising to the top and staying there long term, or consistently having two or three teams in the top 20 of the pairwise, like you're just not gonna get there where it's helping raise up the bottom of this conference.
Yep. The whole conference needs to do better. And
yep.
The way the whole conference does better is when we've talked about this before, is not doing as much NCHC and Big Ten play, but that's what makes sense. That's what's close. That's what are easy trips, you know, for travel. And with the Big Ten, pay money. So I don't see it solving itself either.
Right.
It's, you know, it's just about league-wide having some clear vision on strategy for non-conference, right? Like, you can play a Big Ten team, you can play an NCHC team, but don't stack your entire schedule of, you know, of only playing the top teams from the Big Ten and the NCHC, because you're putting everybody behind the eight ball.
Yeah, and but look at, I don't know what else Bemidji's supposed to do, because those are the games that probably actually sell tickets and fill their stadium, right? Like, North Dakota and Duluth are probably the best draws they get all year. So it's not like they're going to stop playing those teams, even if it hurts them, but they could do better with like the rest of their schedule, I guess. Right. And try and play teams that are a little more appropriate. But then even then, like, the CCHA did not do well against Atlantic Hockey or the ECAC this year, right, Rob? I think we talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit last week. Yeah, they didn't do well against anybody. It was a frustrating year just in general with that.
But to be fair, Ferris State and Bowling Green, I think, are the only ones that played Atlantic Hockey. And that was during Bowling Green's suspensions and turmoil that those games happen. And then Lake State and Tech, I think, were one of or two of the only teams to play ECAC. I don't know how many games we had against them, but it's just really hard to do well. Like, it's hard to judge who's really better when you played nine games against them, right? But that's what Pairwise does, is it makes those nine games magnified.
They're very important, highly. Yeah. They are the comparison games outside of conference, right? So
right. Other news that you cover, Michael, you cover the Toledo Walleye at all?
I do not cover the Walleye. Okay. We have another reporter who covers that.
Oh, that's too bad, because the former Huskies, the head coach of the Toledo Walleye, so we thought we'd ask you about them a little bit too, but that's okay. Anything else you guys want to ask Mike? Oh, go ahead, Michael.
That was me, but I was just wondering, Toledo Walleye, are there a lot of walleye in Lake Erie?
I think so.
Are you not sure about that, Dustin?
Well, it just seems like it. I mean,
I have family friends of my dad drive to Lake Erie every year to go walleye fishing.
Okay, I was just wondering. I'm not a fisherman, but it didn't like pop out at me as being a walleye lake, but apparently it is. So
no, it's a pretty big fishery. It's not uncommon to go out and like two guys catch 10 fish that are 25 plus inches.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. I've never done it because I don't really understand why you would drive all that way when you can go on Green Bay and do pretty good too. But
maybe you'd like to fish without the smell of paper mills.
You really think there aren't smells?
I know.
Have you heard of the river being on fire in Cleveland?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's not exactly a clean lake.
Oh, don't bust out the Cleveland tourism song again.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you in the market for insurance? Have your rates for home, auto, boat, or more been increasing way beyond inflation? If so, maybe it's time you spoke with Aaron Pietola and the team at Arcadia Insurance Group. Serving Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and more, who better to serve you than a former Michigan Tech player? For more information, call 866-511-1069 or go to arcadiaagency.com.
Fibke Dental is a general dentistry practice located in downtown Rhinelander, Wisconsin, home of the Hodag. Look online at FibkeDental.com or find them on Facebook. They do pain-free dentistry for kids, adults, people that went to great schools, and people that ended up at Northern Michigan. Stop in and say hi between 8 and 5 and tell them THG sent you. That is F-I-E-B-K-E dental.com.
I have a completely unrelated question. I mean, you write for the Toledo Blade, right, Michael?
Yes.
What is a blade and why is it a newspaper? How does that name become a name for a paper? It's one of the more unique ones I've heard.
I know it is. I don't know how, but honestly, it sounds pretty cool. I
mean, that was Rob's first reaction at hearing you as a guest. It was like, that is the coolest newspaper name I have ever heard.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I think it's pretty cool.
The paper goes back to 1835. Wow.
Was it called the Blade in 1835?
I don't know if it says of what was. Oh, yeah, of what was then the Toledo Blade. Yeah. So it's been called that since 1935. Well, at least, you know, if Wikipedia is telling me the truth.
I'll have to do some digging and find out why it's actually what the blade is. I don't think I've ever heard. I mean, there's plenty of journals and sentinels and gazettes and all that out there.
Oh, there's
right?
too many of those. We need more.
Right.
Badass names.
It's like the unique name of the blade. Like, what is it? Just cutting through the news or something? I mean, what are we... What's the logic behind that?
We need to start the,
that long. I'm curious.
The Houghton chainsaw.
Yeah, right. I love the name. That's an awesome name.
Okay, here
paper.
You go, Rob. I found it. It's the last sentence of the overview. The Toledo Blade was named after the famed swordsmithing industry of the original city, Toledo, Spain.
Oh, that makes sense.
I believe it's
that's even more badass.
I believe it's Toledo. that's awesome.
Its motto on the nameplate below the title is one of America's great newspapers. And apparently it is no longer called the Toledo Blade. It is just the Blade.
Yeah, according to the Wikipedia article, if that is to be believed, they dropped Toledo in the 60s.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm a fan.
We are learning so much today.
Anything else you wanted to say about the hockey season or anything at all, Michael?
You know, I'm excited to see what happens, you know, obviously with just how close everything is, you know, it's just, you know, this time of year is always special, you know, when a new season starts, you know, everything means a lot more. So I'm definitely excited to kind of see how this all pans out.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you get to travel to Houghton for the game?
Unfortunately not. I'll be doing a couple other assignments this weekend, but you know, I'll obviously be following along and trying to check on updates as much as I can. So
mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm gonna be making my way back home on Thursday night, so I'll be working from home on Friday, as in home, not this home office.
Cheater.
So I'm looking forward to seeing a few more games in person. Do you travel ever for the games, Mike or Michael, or do you just cover
not,
from remote?
Not too often. Mostly try to cover as many home games as possible if schedule works out. You know, I've maybe a couple times here and there I'll travel, but for the most part it's just, you know, gotcha. Mostly just covering at home.
So. All right. Well, you got anything else, Tim?
I don't think so. Well, thank you for joining us, Michael. Anything you wanted to plug?
Nope. I just appreciate you having me a little time or having me on. And like I said, you know, kind of looking forward to see what happens here.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what does happen. What do you think is going to happen?
I think there's going to be, I think there'll be some 3-game series here this first weekend. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see an upset, but I don't know. Bemidji is obviously playing pretty well here down the stretch. You know, you got to expect them to keep continuing and everything and playing well.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks. We're going.
Yep.
1 minute remaining in the podcast.
Well, that should do it for this episode of the Chasing McNaughton podcast. Please check out our Patreon and join by visiting patreon.com/techhockeyguide. We just picked up a patron today. I think they just signed up to get notified of posts because they signed up at a free level. But like today's post about call for questions was made. I posted that so anybody for free could look at that one and ask questions. So even though you're not giving us any money, thank you for joining Paul Durst. There you go.
Let's go. That is a hell of a last name. That's what I'm talking about.
Go break things, Matt. Break things.
I'm going to have to go find a red hat to put on backwards real quick.
Patrons at the white level or above, which is $2, get question priority. Patrons that are black level or above receive access to extra podcast content, including extended versions of pretty much every podcast. That's $5 a month. We've got a $10 level, a $25 level, and a $50 level. Which one of you is going to be first at the $50 level? Nobody. You can submit questions through Twitter, Facebook, or on our Patreon page. I'm going to usually try, unless we start getting a bunch of questions, I'm going to try and probably post the Patreon post for free. So at least we can maybe draw some more foot traffic to our Patreon page. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. If you can't find the podcast on your site of choice, please let us know and we'll make it happen. The more you rate, review, and share, the more people we can reach. So tell your friends. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Fibke Dental in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, Arcadia Insurance serving most of the Midwest, and Livonia Technical Services. Finally, thanks to the thank you notes for all the bumpers in this week's episode. If you like what you hear, check them out at thethankyounotes.bandcamp.com.
You've been listening to the Chasing McNaughton podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA.